Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Bet, where we left off yesterday, six lines up in the narrow lines. We left off with a Mishnah that was quoted from Ta'anit, which says, Tanan Hatam, Bishlosha Pirakim Beshana, Kohanim Nosimet Kabehem, Arba'a Pe'amim Bayom. That there are three times a year where the Kohanim Dochen, say Birkat Kohanim, four times during the day. Bishacharit, Bemusaf, Bemincha, Obinilat Shearim. At those four tefillot, ve'elohein shlosha prakim, what are those three times during the year that that transpires? Bitaniyot, ubemamadot, ubeyom hakipurim. So these are the three periods of time during the year where they dochen four times a day. The Gemara and Tanit points out that that's really not plausible because both taniyot and mamadot do not necessarily have a tefillat musaf, whereas Yom Kippur does have a tefillat musaf. And so in the end, the only day of the year where you do dochen four times a day is Yom HaKippurim, which contains all of those tefillot, which is Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, Uni'ilah. With regards to Taniyot for Gishamim, the fast days for rain, the Mamadot, which are the division of Bnei Yisrael that was done by the Nevi'im into 24 regions, like they have by the 24 Mishmarot of the Kohanim. And each of those regions would then send up representatives to Yerushalayim to act on behalf of Bnei Yisrael to be present for the Korbanot Zibur. And back in the regional capital or the regional center, they used to gather together in the cities and learn from the Torah and fast four of the 6 days of the week from Monday through Thursday. And in those fast days, they also used to have a Tefillat Ni'ilah. So in those days, they used to dochen three times a day, which would be a Shacharit, Mincha, and Ni'ilah. Whereas by Yom HaKippurim, where you did have a Musaf, that was the additional tefillah that was there. In the end, the Gemara in Tanit says it meant to say that in these days, they dochen at every tefillah during the day. And so these 3 days have tefillot of Shacharit, Mincha, and most likely it looks like Ni'ilah for all these days. And you dochen at all three of those. It happens to be in Yom Kippur, you have the additional tefillah of Musaf, which you also dochen at. The reason for that is because normally we do not dochen or we do not have Birkat Kohanim at Mincha time. Because we're afraid of shichrut, we're afraid of the Kohanim becoming intoxicated, which would preclude them from performing avodah in the Mikdash or Birkat Kohanim. And so therefore, we do not have Birkat Kohanim, we do not have dochanim at Mincha on a regular day. But on all of these days that are mentioned here, you are fasting. So since you're fasting, there's no longer a fear of shichrut for the Kohanim at Mincha time. And therefore, because of that, we also dochan at Mincha time. And if there is a tefillat ni'ilah, we also would dochen at that tefillat ni'ilah. And of course, tefillat musaf, as long as one does not eat before tefillat musaf, then one would dochen at tefillat musaf. That's true of Yom Kippur, as well as any of the yamim tovim that we have, or even Shabbat in Eretz Yisrael, or according to the minhag of the Sfaradim, that they would dochen at shacharit and musaf, because one doesn't eat prior to the completion of musaf. So any day that we're not eating on, and the tefillah that comes does not have the ability to eat before it, those days would include dochanim. And that's what the Mishnah is discussing here. In those days, you have dochanim at every tefillah during the day. That's true for the mamadot, the taniyot, and Yom HaKippurim. Now the Gemara wants to investigate, mai ni'ilat she'arim. But it's mentioned over here, it says there are four tefillot on Yom HaKippurim. There's shacharit, musaf, mincha, and then there's this tefillah called ni'ilat she'arim. In the Yerushalmi, they actually discuss this question. Over there, it's a machloket, whether Ni'ilat Sharim is Ni'ilat Sharim of the Mikdash, after the completion of the Avodah of the day, when they'd finished lighting the menorah, the last Avodah of the day, then they closed the gates of the Mikdash, and that might be the Ni'ilat Sharim. Or does Ni'ilat Sharim refer to the Ni'ilat Sharim of Shamayim, that the Sharei Tefillah of Shamayim are closed, and that is what Ni'ilat Sharim refers to. That's Yerushalmi. Here in the Bavli, we have a machloke between Rav and Shmuel as to the nature of Ni'ilat She'arim. Rav Amar, Tzlota Yeterta. It's an additional tefillah. On its simplest level, Rashi says, Tzlota tefillah means that mitpalel sheva keshar tefillot. It's actually a full-blown Shmona Esrei. And that's what Rav means. Tzlota Yeterta means, just like the other tefillot of the day, this is an additional tefillah. Just like Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, and now Ni'ilah is similar to the other tefillot of the day. Other Rishonim suggest that Tzlota Yeterta means it's the Shmon Esrei of the rest of the day plus. Tzlota Yeterta means there's an additional tefillah that we add into Ni'ilah besides the normal tefillah of the day, which is true as well. That tefillah could either be the tefillah of Shmuel, which we're about to mention, or it could be the fact that we have a slightly different ending to the vidui of Atah Noten Yad LePushim versus the normal ending of the vidui, which is Atah Yodea Razei Olam. So any of those explanations are true of Rav. The most important of all of those, the common denominator between all of those explanations, is that Rav believes is actually a Shmona Esrei for Ne'ilah. Shmuel Amar simply says that it's Ma'anu Mechayenu. It's not necessarily an extra tefillah according to Rashi. It's not an additional Shmona Esrei, but simply a tefillah that involves the expression of Ma'anu Mechayenu. How are we worthy to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Which seems to be an independent vidui, not necessarily encompassed or included within a Shmona Esrei. Now the Gemara asks, Meitavei, or Yom HaKippurim mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. On the night of Yom Kippur, he davens a Shmona Esrei of 7 brachot, and then his mitvadeh has vidui. Shacharit mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. Same is true at Shacharit. Bim Musaf mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. Same thing is true at the time of Musaf. Mincha mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. And Ne'ilah mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. So we have a braita that indicates that Ne'ilah is no different than the other tefillot of Yom HaKippurim. And that every one of the tefillot of Yom HaKippurim includes the normal 7 brachot of the tefillah on Yom HaKippurim, which is the 3 opening brachot that we say in every Shmona Esrei, Magen Abraham, Mechaye Amitim, and Akel HaKadosh, or on Yom HaKippurim it's going to be Amelech HaKadosh, and the 3 concluding brachot, which are Amachazir Shkinato Letzion, Hatov Shimcha Olechane Lehodot, and Amavrech HaTamo Yisrael Bashalom. You have the 3 opening brachot, the 3 closing brachot, and in the middle you have the tefillah, which is Kedushat Hayom, which includes Mikadesh Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim. Our closing brachot for the tefillot in the middle are more extensive. It includes Melech Machel V'Soleach, Lavonotenu Avonot Amo Yisrael, Kol Shana V'Shana. And we conclude that brachot, including the brachot of the Melech Mechilah and of the Kedushat Hayom. But here, this bright indicates that they're all the same, which would support the position of Rav, that Ne'ilah is no different than the other tefillot, at least in its basic framework of being a Shmona Esrei and including a vidui. So now we have the Girsa of the Gemara is Tanayehi, Titanyo. This is a Machloket Tanaim, because we have a Braita, but when we read the Braita, it's pretty clear that there is no Machloket Tanaim here. So the Gro, the Bach, and all of the commentators here eliminate these 3 words from the Girsa, and they continue with the Gemara saying either Titanyo, or Vitu Tanya, something along those lines, that Yom HaKippurim, Im Chashecha, Mitpalel Shevel Mitvadeh. On Yom Kippur, with nightfall, you dive in Shmona Esrei, and you have a vidui. Bechuteim bevidui, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And you conclude with the vidui. Now, whether Bechuteim bevidui means that you do not have the normal conclusion to the bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Yom HaKippurim, or the other more extensive bracha that we have. Rather, you have a special bracha that is, as Rashi points out, Hakel HaSoleach, that is specifically about the vidui. Whereas, V'chachamim omrim, mitpalel sheva, that you could daven the Shmona Esrei, imratzah lachtom bevidui, chotem. If you want to conclude with that type of bracha, you can. Otherwise, you can use the normal conclusion for the bracha of Shmona Esrei. That's one way that Rashi explains it. He says, but that doesn't seem to be the girsa of the Tosefta. And he says that rather the Tosefta seems to indicate that it's speaking about Ne'ilah and not all the tefillot of Shmona Esrei on Yom HaKippurim. It's not a generic statement about vidui on Yom HaKippurim, but rather the Ne'ilah on Yom HaKippurim. This is the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether you are chotem, whether you conclude the brocha with the vidui or not. The other possibility of explaining this is whether Chotem bevidui means that you conclude, like the private Shmona Esrei of all the Shmona Esreis of Yom HaKippurim, Chotem bevidui, do you finish off with vidui, which is the final tefillah that we say in our private Shmona Esreis, that we conclude with the vidui. And that's what the machloket here is. Mitpalel sheva mitpadev, chotem bevidui, he definitely has to say vidui according to Rabbi Meir. Mitpalel sheva, you definitely have to say Shmona Esrei, but whether you have to conclude with vidui or not, that is optional. But either way that you read it, or no matter how you read it, it is tiyufto de Shmuel tiyufto. It is a difficulty for Shmuel because here it's clear that the Braita is indicating the fact that Shmona Esrei is a complete and full Shmona Esrei when it comes to Ne'ilah. Whether it's from the first Braita or the second Braita, Both of them indicate that when it comes to the time of Ni'ilah, that there is a Shmoneh Esrei in the first Braita, and then in the second Braita, even the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, who are arguing about the nature of the bracha in the Ni'ilah, or whether you have to conclude with Vidui, they both agree that it has a Shmoneh Esrei, and therefore that is a very strong question against the position of Shmuel. Uva Barav, Nochid Gamed Rava. He descended before Rava means that he was the Shliach Tzibur. In their day, the position of the Tzliach Tzibur was down below, it was in a lower place, to fulfill the Pasuk of Mimakim Kraticha Hashem, I've called you out from the depths. And so when we say that he is Yored, means he goes down before the Aron, or he goes down before the Tzibur to Davin, that means that he is the Shliach Tzibur. So here, Ula Barav was the Shliach Tzibur in the Shul of Rava, in the presence of Rava. Hatach Vata Bichartanu. He began with Atah Bichartanu V'siyem B'ma'anu Mechayenu. And he ended off with the Tefillah of Ma'anu Mechayenu V'sha B'chei. And Rava praised him for doing such. It seems like he praised him for doing such. Number one is because the Locha is like Rav, that this is a full-fledged Shmoneh Esrei. And it seems that he praised him as well for including Shmuel's opinion or incorporating Shmuel's opinion too, which is that even within the full-fledged tefillah of Ni'ilah, he still had that tefillah of Ma'anu Mechayenu, which was suggested by Shmuel. Even though according to Shmuel, you don't need a full-fledged Shmoneh Esrei, nevertheless, he did both. He had the tefillah of Rav, and he included the position of Shmuel within the context of Rav. Now, in the next section, there's some controversy as to what the exact Gersa is. We have a Gersa in our Gemara, but if you look in the Bach, the names of the individuals that are included in this situation are totally different. We'll use the Bach's the Gersa, but just be aware that it's very different than our Gersa. And as the Mesorot HaShas points out, that there are others like the Rif and the Rosh that have a different Nusach. So here we have in the Od Gimel of the Bach, it says, Rav Natan Avua Derav Huna Berei Derav Natan Nachad Kamei Derav Papa. He went down, meaning that he was the Shliach Tzibur before Rav Papa. Patach Ve'atar Bechartanu. He began with Atar Bechartanu V'siyem Bema Anu V'shabechei. And he praised him. Amar Vacha Berei Derav V'yachid Omra Achar Tfilato. That the individual says it after his Tfilah. That the individual says this tefillah of Ma'anu Mechayenu after his tefillah, like when he says the vidui, this is said in addition to the vidui that is said in Ni'ilah. And actually our practice with regards to Ni'ilah is that we have a vidui like the vidui in the other Shmoneh Esreis, except that we only do the shorter vidui, we do the Ashamnu Bagadnu vidui, we do the full-fledged vidui of Al-Chayit, that's number one. We also have the additional tefillah of Shmuel, which is Manu Mechayenu. And then the last thing that we change in Ni'ilah is instead of Atayudea Razei Olam as being the conclusion, we have the concluding paragraph of Ni'ilah, which is Atan Noten Yad Lepushim, that God extends his hand for those that have sinned to return. Meaning this is the final chance to do tshuva and to repent on Yom HaKippurim. We have a particular emphasis in that tefillah on the Ma Nechtal Mi Oshek Yadeinu, that we should remove from our hands the theft that we have. And there is this particular focus on Gezel within the tefillah of Ni'ilah. The most beautiful word that I ever heard was from Rabbi Frand. I think that it's also said over in the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal as well, which is the focus on Gezel in the tefillah of Ni'ilah and the vidui of Ni'ilah. It's not the classic Gezel of stealing one from the other, ben adam lechaveiro, but rather stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we're all placed down on earth with a certain potential and a certain mission to do. And if we fail to do that, then we're really stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that final vidui on Yom HaKippurim is the vidui of saying that Hashem, we have to stop stealing from you because we have to carry out our mission. We have to do what we're here to do and not sin or be distracted or lose our focus on what we're here on this world to do. And we have to stop stealing from you and not reaching our potential. So now the Gemara continues to explain over here. Amar Rav, Tfilat Ni'ilah Poteret et Shel Arvit. If you daven Tfilat Ni'ilah, you do not have to daven Ma'ariv. It would seem from here that Rav believes that Tfilat Ni'ilah was done at nighttime. Rav Letameh, Rav is Leshitoto, Damar Tzlota Yuter Tahi, that it is a full-fledged Shmoneh Esrei. V'kevin Detzalile Tulo Tzarich. Since he already davened Shmoneh Esrei, he does not have to daven Ma'arib now. There's no reason to daven at night two different tefillot. Umi amar Rav Hochi, does Rav really believe this? V'amar Rav, halocha divi omer, tefillat arvit reshut. Halacha is like the one who says that tefillat arvit is optional. This is a machloket in the Gemara in Brachot as to whether tefillat arvit is a chovah or tefillat arvit is a reshut. It's an obligation, or is it optional? So Rav is of the opinion that tefillat arvit is optional. So then if he thinks that tefillat arvit is optional, then why does he need a tefillah of ne'ilah to replace it and be poter you from davening ma'ariv on a regular night? You don't have to daven ma'ariv in any case. So why do you have to say that tefillat ne'ilah exempts you from davening Shmon Esrei of Arvit? Umar says, L'divrei Omer Chuvah Kamar. He's not saying in his own position that tefillat arvit is a reshut, but he says, even according to the one who says that tefillat arvit is an obligatory tefillah, if you daven tefillat ne'ilah at night, then you do not have to daven ma'ariv because it is potera de ma'ariv. That's the way that the Gemara reads. Now, there is a machloket harishonim in the Gemara in Brachot as to what reshut means. Rashi there simply translates reshut as optional, that tefillat arvit is optional. If you want to daven, you can. If you don't want to daven, you don't. Versus tefillat arvit chovah, which means that it's an obligatory tefillah. There, Tosafot does not like the explanation of Rashi. He says it can't be that tefillat arvit is really a reshut, is really just optional. He shows from many halachot that we have that tefillat arvit is considered to be a regular tefillah. May not have the full force of a tefillah of shacharit or mincha, but it still has the form of a Shmon Esrei. And therefore, Tosafot over there says reshut does not mean optional. Reshut means in contrast to obligatory, in contrast to chovah. Chovah means you have to daven no matter what. Whereas tefillat arvit reshut says that if you have the time and you have the opportunity to daven Shmon Esrei, you must daven that Shmon Esrei. If there's some conflict, then we will waive it. Meaning that if you have another mitzvah that you're doing, or there's some reason why you wouldn't have to daven Shmon Esrei, then we'll waive the Shmon Esrei of Ma'ariv for that other opportunity, for that other mitzvah. And that's all it means, tefillat arvit reshut, which is that we have the option to dismiss it or not daven it if there's something else to do. But if there's nothing else to do, then we wouldn't do that. Now this Gemara seems to be very difficult for that pshat in Tosafot, and that's why there's a large Tosafot that discusses it over here. How could it be over here? The Gemara says that according to one who says tefillat arvit reshut, we don't even have to ask the question. It seems from this Gemara that it's completely optional, not just that you waive it for another reason. Tosafot here brings two reasons, one of which he rejects, but happens to be the halacha for us today. But the other answer that he gives is that on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, there is another mitzvah there. It is the preoccupation with eating, that one must eat after Yom HaKippurim. And he says that it's actually, Motzei Yom HaKippurim is a Yom Tov of sorts. And therefore, that preoccupation with eating makes us say that tefillat arvit reshut, what we would waive tefillat arvit on the night, or Motzei Yom HaKippurim, especially in the face of davening ni'ilah, but we would not just waive it willy-nilly, it just happens to be here that there is a mitzvah, and there is something else to do, and that's why we would waive tefillat arvit, not saying that it's completely optional. The other answer that Tosafot brings down and rejects is that tefillat arvit was a reshut originally, but now we're speaking about tefillat arvit reshut like in our time, where we've accepted already as an obligatory tefillah. Yes, it is reshut, but Bnei Yisrael accepted upon themselves the daven ma'ariv as if it is a chovah now. And that's what it means, tefillat arvit reshut. Tosafot rejects it for a number of reasons of the explanation over here, but that is the practice that we have today, which is when we say tefillat arvit reshut, it's no longer reshut because we've accepted upon ourselves to treat it like a chovah. There still are leniencies with regards to tefillat arvit versus tefillot, like shacharit and mincha, but not in the realm of reshut, which is optional, like Rashi explains, or not like reshut in the way that Tosafot explains, which is if there's something else, for instance, a person already started a meal, person already went to bed, maybe they wouldn't have to get up for ma'ariv, none of those apply anymore because we've already accepted tefillat arvit as a chuvah upon ourselves. But now we have Rav's suggestion here, that if you daven tefillat ni'ilah, you will not have to daven tefillat arvit. Gemara says, meitevei. Or Yom HaKippurim mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. Shacharit sheva umitvadeh. Musaf sheva umitvadeh. Ne'ilah mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. Arvit mitpalel sheva mi'ein Shmon Esrei. So over here you have the Seder Tefillah at Yom HaKippurim, which includes a davening ma'ariv the night before, then shacharit, musaf, mincha, ni'ilah. And then afterwards you have another ma'ariv. Now it's not a full-fledged ma'ariv. You daven mi'ein sheva. You daven a compressed Shmon Esrei, a condensed Shmon Esrei, which is called Havinenu. Over here in Tosafot, the Rashbam explains, because you're still fasting from Yom HaKippurim, and therefore we want to keep it in the format of Yom Kippur, which is seven brachot, But since it's already the weekday, because it's after Yom Kippurim, you use Havineinu, which is the condensed version of the 13 middle brachot of Shmoneh Esrei, and you say it that way. Rashi says we don't want to be Toreach on the Tzibur, since they're fasting, so we allow you to do the shortened version of Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishum Avutav, Mitpatel Shmoneh Esrei Shlemot. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel had some sorrow from his fathers that they dominate a full-fledged Shmoneh Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippurim. Mipnei Shetzarich Lomar Havdalah B'Chonei Nadat. Because you have to say Havdalah. Since you have to say Havdalah, you can't say Havineinu, which is a compressed Shmoneh Esrei, because there's no room to mention Chonei Nadat. The question of why we can't include it in Havineinu is dealt with in the Gemara in Brachot. And Tosafot takes up the issue over here and says that we wouldn't have done this on the night of Yom Kippur. If every time else during the year you daven a full Shmoneh Esrei and include Havdalah, then Motzei Yom Kippurim, there's no reason to not daven a full Shmoneh Esrei in order to include Chonei Nadat, in order to include Havdalah. So in that case, we have here a braita that clearly says that Ma'ariv is independent of Ni'ilah. The two are not mutually exclusive, or Ni'ilah does not replace the Ma'ariv of Motzei Yom Kippurim. Mar says, Tanaehi. It happens to be a machat loket Tanaim as to whether the Ni'ilah replaces Ma'ariv. And we're going to see that in a second for the remainder of the Gemara here in the Perek. So also note that there is a position in the Gemara Yushalmi, that of Rabbi Yochanan, it says that Ni'ilah is a full-fledged monastery like Rav, but he believes that Ni'ilah is daven during the day of Yom HaKippurim. And that is our practice, which is that we daven Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur itself, during the daytime of Yom Kippur. If you do that, then it would not replace Ma'ariv, because it's not daven at the time of Ma'ariv. And even according to Rav and Yushalmi, who says that Ni'ilah was daven at night, he still says that you begin Ni'ilah before sunset, but you just carry it on through to the evening. It happens to be machloket that how we handle Ni'ilah today, whether we daven Ni'ilah completely before the sun sets, or do we start Ni'ilah before the sun sets and continue into the sunset. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very heavily influenced by the fact that they do dochen at Ni'ilah on Yom HaKippurim. As long as they get to Birkat Kohanim before sunset on Yom HaKippurim, then the Kohanim go up to Dochen, like we saw in the Mishnah from Ta'anit. And in order to facilitate that, they have to start eating Ni'ilah earlier enough in order to reach Birkat Kohanim before sunset. And then in Eretz Yisrael, since the Tzeit HaKochavim is much faster after Shkia, they're able then to extend a little bit, whether it's through the Avinu Malkeinu or the way the Mishnah Berurah suggests, to move some of the Slichot to after the Shmoneh Esrei, and then finish off the Ni'ilah towards the Tzeit HaKochavim. In Chutz La'aretz, where the period of Benesh Mashot is longer, it becomes much more difficult to do that. And in some places, they still try to duchen before Shkia. In other places, they don't even attempt to do that, and they let Ni'ilah go into the nighttime, into the Benesh Mashot period. So that is a machloket in exactly how we paskin, or how we handle Ni'ilah today. But it does start with a machloket here between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as to whether Ni'ilah is during the day or at night. And we clearly paskin that it during the day, or at least starts during the day, like Rav and Yerushalmi. And now we'll discuss this within the context of our Gemara here, which is there is a machloket Tanaim as to where the placement of Ni'ilah is. The Tanya, Kol chayevei tevilot tovlim kidarkan biyom HaKippurim. Anyone who's obligated to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim goes to the mikveh like usual. Nida v'yoledet tovelet kidarkan b'leile Yom HaKippurim. A yoledet and a nida who go to the mikveh at night, not during the day, they can go to the mikveh. If their time to go to the mikveh is at night of Yom HaKippurim, meaning the starting night of Yom Kippur, then they can go then. Balkari tovel v'leich ad ha-mincha. And a balkari can go all the way until mincha time, can go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur itself. The balkari here is based on the Tanakhanat Nevi'im of Ezra, which says that a balkari may not daven or learn Torah unless he goes to the mikveh. So this mikveh allows this individual then to participate in the tefillot of Yom HaKippurim. So if the Tanakh Kama says that he's tovel v'leich ad mincha, until mincha time he can go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hayom kulo. He can go all day to the mikveh. So now the Gemara assumes that this machloket Tanaim is about when you daven Ni'ilah. Therefore, a balkari who cannot daven and cannot participate in Divrei Torah, according to the Tanakhama, can only go until Mincha time. Because after Mincha time, there's nothing else to daven on Yom Kippur. What about Ni'ilah? Ni'ilah is done at night. So he may as well postpone his going to the mikveh to after Yom HaKippurim. He'll go after Yom HaKippurim, and then he'll be able to daven Ni'ilah at night time after he's gone to the mikveh. Whereas Rabbi Yossi believes that Tefillat Ni'ilah is during the daytime. Therefore, even after Mincha time, he still needs to go to the mikveh, in order to daven tefillat ni'ilah on Yom HaKippurim itself. So the Gemara assumes here that that's the machloke between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, is as to whether you daven ni'ilah at night, and therefore you can wait to go to mikveh after mincha time, or you daven ni'ilah during the daytime, then even after mincha, ni'ilah goes all the way till the end of the day, you still can go to the mikveh as a balkari in order to daven tefillat ni'ilah. Where it says, v'reminu, is that really true? Hazav, v'azava, ha-mitzora, v'mitzorat, u'bo'ol nida, v'tamei meit, tovlim kid darkam, b'yom ha-kippurim. All these individuals who have to go to the mikveh during the day, can go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim, if this is their seventh day of Tahara, they can go to the mikveh on that last day of their Tahara process, which is Yom HaKippurim, in order to be Tahor for nightfall. Yidavileta, tovlim kid darkam, b'leila Yom HaKippurim. Like we saw before in the previous braito, the Nido and the Yoledet, who go to the mikveh at night, can go on the night of Yom HaKippurim. Now, the truth is that you can go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur because it's not a rechitza shel ta'anug. It's not a washing or bathing of ta'anug. It's an obligatory washing, quote-unquote, or going into the water in order to be metahir themselves. The real question is, why do you have to be metahir yourself for Yom HaKippurim itself? You're not going to do anything on Yom Kippur. So some of the commentaries suggest that it has to do with these individuals plan on eat kodoshim on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. The only way they can eat Kodashim and Motzei Yom HaKippurim is for them to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim. In order to facilitate that, they're allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur in order to eat on Motzei Yom Kippur Kodashim. Now, Balkari, Tovel Volech, Kole Yom Kulo. Now, Balkari, which is in a totally different category, he would also have to go to the mikveh to eat Kodashim, but over here, they're speaking about the Balkari having to go to the mikveh, not because of the issue of eating Kodashim, but rather because of the Rabbanan issue of not being able to participate in Torah and Tefillah once you are a Balkari. So Balkari is Tovel Volech Kol Yom Kulo, the entire day. Yossi Omer, Min HaMincha Ulamalo. Only until Mincha can he do this. But Min HaMincha Ulamalo, En Yachod Lidbo. From Mincha onwards, he can't go to do Tefillah. So now you have a stira in Rabbi Yossi's position, and truthfully you have a stira in the Rabbanan's position. Rabbi Yossi said before you're allowed to go to the mikveh for Balkari all day long, and then, over here, he's suggesting that you only can go to the mikveh until mincha time. But after that, he cannot go to the mikveh. And the Rabbanan's the opposite way around. In the first braita, the Rabbanan said he can only go to the mikveh until mincha time. After mincha time, he cannot go to the mikveh. Over here, it says he can go to the mikveh all day long. Now, in truth, it is a stira between both of them. But, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, we really don't have to worry about that stira, because it could be different positions of Chachamim. The Chachamim and the two braita don't have to be the same. And there might be a three-way machloket, which the Gemara will discuss, or possibly a four-way machloket, which the Gemara will suggest much later on. But at least between the two positions of Rabbi Yossi, we have a stira here. Gemara says, Lokasha, Hadatzali tefillat ni'ila, Hadalotzali. It's a difference whether he already davened ni'ila, or he didn't daven ni'ila. In the first braita, where Rabbi Yossi says he can keep going all day, is when he hasn't davened ni'ila yet. Since he hasn't davened ni'ila, he can go to the mikveh all day long. On the other hand, in the second braita, where Rabbi Yossi says he can go on to mincha time, is when he's daven ni'ilah already. Once he's daven ni'ilah already, there's no reason to go to the mikveh for a balkari anymore. He may as well go after Yom HaKippurim is over, because there's no benefit between now and the end of Yom Kippur, because he's already davened ni'ilah. So Mara says, Iditzali, if he already davened tvilat ni'ilah in the second braita, my time I would do Rabbanon. Then why did the Rabbanon say that he can still go to the mikveh? He's already davened ni'ilah, what's the point of going to the mikveh, going to the Rabbanon? He's done everything he needs to do on that day, why would he go to the mikveh? The Gemara says, Kasavi Rabbanon, tvila bizmano mitzvah. That tvila in a proper time is a mitzvah. And therefore going at that moment on Yom Kippur, even though it's the last minute of Yom Kippur, there's still value to that because it's a mitzvah to go to the mikveh on the day that you're supposed to become tahor, you're supposed to go to the mikveh. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that the reason that you don't have to go to the mikveh anymore is because tvilat ni'ilah is already done, and I don't have to do anything. I mean, say, you're right, tefillat ni'ilah is already done, but you still have a mitzvah to go to the mikveh on time. Michlal, from that you would conclude the Rabbi Yossi savar lav mitzvah. The Rabbi Yossi thinks that it's not a mitzvah to go to the mikveh on time, and we're going to show now from a braita that that is not the true position of Rabbi Yossi. At this point in time, we actually have a three-maya machloket in our braitot. You have the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi in the first braita, which are simply arguing about the question of whether ni'ilah is during the day or ni'ilah is at night. Rabbi Yossi believes that ni'ilah is during the day, and therefore he can go to the mikveh all day. The Rabbanon of that first braita believe that ni'ilah is at night, and since it's at night, you don't have to go to the mikveh after mincha olamalo, because there's no reason to go to the mikveh anymore during that day. It also seems to indicate that they both believe that tefillah bizman is lav mitzvahi, because If the Rabbanan really believed it was a mitzvah, they would say, go to the mikveh anyway. The second machloket, in the second brayta, is between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, is about a totally different issue, which is whether tefillah b'zmanah is a mitzvah or not. Everybody agrees they finished now. Tefillat Ni'ilah is during the day. Tefillat Ni'ilah, according to Rabbi Yossi, was during the daytime, and he completed it. It's not clear whether the Chachamim believe that Tefillat Ni'ilah is at night, or they also believe it's during the day, and he's already davened Tefillat Ni'ilah. But they're arguing about the question of whether Tefillah B'zmanah is a mitzvah. Rabbi Chachamim say it is, and Rabbi Yossi say it isn't. So Rabbi Yossi's position consists of two things. One is that Tefillat Ni'ilah is during the day, and number two is Tefillah B'zmanah lav mitzvah. That's the position of Rabbi Yossi. According to the Chachamim of the first Braita, Tefillat Ni'ilah is at night. And it looks like Tefillat B'zmanah is not a mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippurim after Mincha time. The Rabbanon in the second Braita believe that Tefillat B'zmanah is a mitzvah. It's not clear what they hold about Ni'ilah. They could hold that Ni'ilah is during the day, or they could hold that Ni'ilah is at night. Either he's already davening Ni'ilah during the day, or he needs to wait for night, but he still has to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur because Tefillat B'zmanah mitzvah he. And so those two sets of Chachamim don't necessarily agree. They have totally different opinions, and they're arguing about a different issue with Rabbi Yossi. But now the Gemara challenges this idea that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tefillah B'zmanah is lav mitzvah. Vatanya, Harei Shaya Shem Katuv al Bisaro. He has the Shem Hashem written on his skin. Harei Ze lo yirchotz v'lo yisoch. Person can't bathe himself, and he can't rub it. V'lo yomod v'makom atinofet. And he can't stand in a place that is inappropriate for Torah or Tefillah, in a place that's disgusting, whether it's a bathroom or whether it's a place of garbage, because he has the Shem Hashem written on his body. If he has the opportunity to go to the mikvah for a mitzvah, he has to go to the mikvah for whatever reason that he became tamei. Now the Torah says he should go to the mikveh. He puts a reader in it, and he goes down to the mikveh and he does the tefillah. He can go down without putting anything on it, as long as he doesn't rub it intentionally to wipe it out. And we explain what's the difference between the position of Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama with regards to whether you have to cover the Shem Hashem or not. The Tanakama believes you have to cover the Shem Hashem because otherwise it looks like you're intentionally wiping out the Shem Hashem by taking it into the water. So you put a gemi around it to protect it from being wiped out easily, but it's a porous material that doesn't tie tight around the skin and lets the water go through, so it's not a problem of chatzitza for the mikveh. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says you just go in like he is. It's not a psik reishe that it's going to be wiped out. If he's not mitkaven, if he doesn't intend to wipe it off, then he goes to the mikveh, it's fine. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Tevilah b'zmana mitzvah pligi. That they are arguing about exactly that issue, whether tevilah b'zmana is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says tevilah b'zmana is a mitzvah. Since it's a mitzvah, he doesn't have to consider the covering of the Shem Hashem whatsoever. Whereas the Chachamim believe Tefillah B'zman is lav mitzahi, so if he opts to go into the mikveh, he has to cover it. But you see here that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tefillah B'zman is a mitzvah. Where it says, Hai Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehudahi. That is the position of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Teyal Tefillah Shetei B'Achrona. That position that we said before of Rabbi Yossi that says Tefillah B'zman is lav mitzahi, that's not Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafto. Rather, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is of a position in the Gemara in Nida. It's a complicated case in the early part of the Gemara in Nida on Daf Chof Tet that discusses a woman who went overseas and had a miscarriage and she lost count of when she had the miscarriage. And then we discuss all the different possibilities of when she would become Tahor and when she would have to go to the mikveh. If Tevilah B'zmanah mitzvahi, she would have to go to the mikveh numerous times. And then we have the position of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, why bother? Just wait till all of this clears, to absolutely sure she's Tahor, and she'll go to the mikveh once and be done. So it's clear that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tevilah B'zmanah is lav mitzvahi because he says go to the one mikveh once at the way end, and it'll cover all the times she should have gone to the mikveh. Whereas according to the other positions there, she has to go each time or every day to the mikveh, whether it's twice a day, once in the day, once at night, or once a day, depending on what the suffix is of her becoming Tahor in the permutations that are there, because they clearly believe Tefillah B'zmanah is a mitzvah to go each time on time. So once we've done that, we've solved our problem. Rabbi Yossi of the Braita of the Shem Hashem is Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta. That Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta believes that Tefillah B'zmanah is a mitzvah. The Rabbi Yossi that we mentioned in the second Braita that seems to indicate that Tefillah B'zmanah is not a mitzvah, that's not Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta, but that is Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. That will also solve our problem with regards to the first Braita, the steer between the two Rabbi Yossis, because now the second Braita is Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the first Braita could be Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta. And now there's no steer between the two Rabbi Yossis, because they're two different Rabbi Yossis. The second writer is Rabbi Yossi Bir Rabbi Yehuda, who says tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah, and he's arguing on the Chachamim about that issue. The first writer is arguing about whether tefillah ni'ilah is during the day or tefillah ni'ilah is at night, and that's a machlokah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Bir Rabbi Chalafto. That first brayta, that is, Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafto, will be because tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah, and therefore you have to go to the mikvah all day on Yom Kippurim. So even though Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafto believes that tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah, still, if for whatever reason you didn't go to the mikvah on Yom Kippurim, you would not be permitted then to daven tefillah ni'ilah afterwards, whereas the Chachamim believe that tefillah ni'ilah is at night, and therefore that has no impact, and then you don't have to go to the mikveh anymore on the day of Yom Kippurim, at least the daven tefillat ni'ilah. So the Chachamim could believe that tefillah b'zman mitzvah, just with regards to tefillat ni'ilah, there's no requirement to go to the mikveh after a mincha l'malo, because tefillat ni'ilah is at night. Again, now we're left with an inconclusive gemara over here, because it's not clear whether tefillat ni'ilah is really at night or during the day. Because the second brayta is discussing an issue totally independent of this, which is whether tefillah b'zman a mitzvah or not, and not about whether tefillah ni'ilah is during the day or during the night. And number two is the first brayta, which seems to be discussing whether tefillah ni'ilah is during the day or during the night. We have a machloket there between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, and the Chachamim as to when tefillah ni'ilah is. And even that first machloket could be explained by tefillah b'zman a mitzvah here, because it's a different Rabbi Yossi than the second brayta. So therefore, we have no conclusive proof as to when tefillat ni'ilah is. Again, we discussed earlier what our practice is today with regards to tefillat ni'ilah. We seem to follow the position of Rabbi Yochanan. We do follow the position of Rab that tefillat ni'ilah is a separate shmon esrei, but more along the lines of Rabbi Yochanan that tefillat ni'ilah is done during the day, although there are those that follow that position of Rab and Yushami to daven ni'ilah very late in the day to start right before Shkia, but to continue tefillat ni'ilah into nightfall. Now the Gemara discussed, Tarabanan, Haro'ek Eri B'Yom HaKippurim, Yored V'Tovel, Ule Erev Yishav Sheif. Person who on Yom Kippur sees Keri, he goes down to the mikveh, and in the evening, Yishav Sheif. He will clean himself off, so there will be no chatzitza on his body. Mar says, the Erev, what do you mean? After Yom HaKippurim, you're going to go and clean off anything that was a chatzitza? Mar Da'ava Havo. How does that help you? You already went to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. What does taking off the chatzitza after Yom Kippur do for you? Ele Eima Mi Be'Erev Yishav Sheif. A person going into Yom HaKippurim should make sure that they are completely clean of chatzitzot, lest they might see a bri'at keri on Yom Kippur and have to go to the mikveh. So a person should make sure that their body is completely clean going into Yom Kippur, because they might have to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, and therefore mi be'erev. Before Yom HaKippurim, they should wash themselves in hot water and scrub off any chatzitzot, so they should be ready to go to the mikveh in case something happens on Yom HaKippurim. Tani Tana Kamei Derev Nachmon, Haroya Keri B'Yom HaKippurim, Avunotav Mochlim Lo. One who has a seminal mission on Yom HaKippurim is forgiven for all of his sins. V'hatanya. Don't we have a brayta that says Avunotav Sturim? That is, sins are laid out before him. My Sturim, Sturim Limachel. Doesn't mean that they're laid out before him, but rather that they're set up to be forgiven. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Aroe Keri B'Yom HaKippurim, Idag Holashana Kula. Person who sees Keri on Yom HaKippurim should worry all year long. V'maltalo shana, if the year passes and he lives through the year, muftach lo shu ben olam haba, then he's certain that he is an ben olam haba. The reason for this is that a person is fasting and keeping the chameshit inuyim on Yom HaKippurim. If Hashem wants to reject that person's fasting or the inuyim of Yom HaKippurim, what does he do? He throws it back at them. So how does he throw it back at them? We have that example with the Gemara that we're going to learn next, Masechta Sukkah, that if Hashem doesn't really want the mitzvah of Sukkah from Bnei Yisrael, he has it rain on them. It's as if the master throws the water back in the face of the servant and says, no, thank you. So that's who, over here on Yom HaKippurim, when you're doing these Chamesha Dinuyim, and then you have a Riyat Keri, unintentional Riyat Keri on Yom HaKippurim, that is as if Hashem has rejected your Chamesha Dinuyim. So that's why it's a bad sign, in the sense that Hashem is rejecting Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, if one who has a Riyat Keri on Yom HaKippurim, he should worry over that next year whether he's going to live out the year. Now, if he does successfully live out the year, then retroactively we look at this differently. And that is based on the fact that if he had enough zichuyot to get him through the year, then he certainly must be a ben olam haba. And now we're going to go back and look at Yom Kippurim in a different light, which is this next statement. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Teda, Kol HaOlam Kulo Ra'ev V'Husaveya, that the whole world is hungry and fasting and has all the pleasures withheld from them. And this individual is satisfied, meaning that Tashmish HaMita is one of the inuim that is not permitted on Yom HaKippurim, and everybody else is abstaining from Tashmish HaMita. And this individual unintentionally was given the pleasure of Tashmish HaMita because of this Riat Keri. And so here, this person got to enjoy Yom HaKippurim like nobody else got to enjoy Yom HaKippurim. Again, it has to be unintentional, and the person has to live out the next entire year to show that they have enough zechuyot. And then if we see that, then we look retroactively and say, look, Hashem gave that person a reprieval on Yom HaKippurim that he didn't have to have all the inuim that everybody else had, rather than looking at it as Hashem throwing it back in his face. Now we look at it in a more positive light. Ki ader Rav Dimi amar, mefish chaye, sage umaske. Person who has a seminal omission, it's a sign of long life, children and grandchildren. As Rashi and Tosafot quote the pasuk from Yeshayahu, yire zera yarech yamim. One who sees zera sees a seminal flow. It's a symbol of long life and a symbol of procreation, a symbol of having many children and grandchildren. And therefore, having that sign of keri on Yom HaKippurim is an indication, if the person lives out the next year, is an indication of Hashem's pleasure with that individual, and also a sense of bracha that they will live a long life and that they will have many children and grandchildren. With that, we conclude Masechet Yoma. Hadron alach Yom HaKippurim, uslik alach Masechet Yoma.